Plains Tribune presents the Friday Mashup.
He's not the kind to kiss and tell, but he once dated Karen. After every kiss, she'd ask to see his boss, her loss. He might need another space suit, a black belt with the belch. He's the American spaceman, half Irish and half Welsh.
Join us now for the next exciting episode of Captain Backfire, The Out That Came Back In. Previously on Captain Backfire, the captain was collecting cheese rocks on the moon when he found a structural weakness in his methane tank, but he was too far away from the ship to reach safety in time. The tank breached, and then...
This is Mission Control. Are you there, Captain? I repeat, can you hear me? Over. Captain?
Ouch.
Did you just hit the windshield?
Yeah. Hi, how's it going?
But how? I thought you were too far out.
Well, I was too far out, and then I remembered I always carry my Rambo survival knife with me. At the last minute, I vectorized the breech to propel me to safety.
Did you say you vectorized your britches?
Well, not exactly.
Wow.
Anyway, requesting some assistance out here, I'm kind of stuck.
Roger, engaging windshield wipers. Over.
Thanks, Mission Control. Now I need to make it back to the airlock. Any suggestions?
Well, I could reconfigure the tachyon burst sensor array to emit a specialized magnetic pulse to pull you in. It'll take about 7 hours.
That's one option. Any other ideas?
I guess we could just use the transporters.
Yes. Make it so.
Roger. Energization engaged.
I'm having trouble rematerializing his pattern. The graviton quarantine filter is reporting an anomaly. I'm compensating. He's on board.
Acknowledged.
I feel strange.
Running a biometric scan now. No anomaly detected, Cap.
That's better. Hey, why didn't we just use the transporters in the first...
and tell, but he once dated Karen. After every kiss, she'd ask to see his boss, her loss. He might need another spacesuit, a black belt with the belch. He's the American spaceman, half Irish and half Welsh.
Thank you.
Growing Business Solutions is an LLC started in Tucson, Arizona in 2004. This is John Dale, everyone. I founded Growing Business Solutions as the master's thesis for the McGuire Center for Entrepreneurship Concentration in Entrepreneurship. Since then, I've worked professionally in enterprise software, delivering solutions to healthcare. I've delivered encryption software for the largest credit union in Canada. I put together a 52-gun raffle for law enforcement, a law enforcement association. I've delivered for higher ed, K-12, and other firms. I can design and build these applications from the ground up. They're scalable, fast, secure, privacy certified. I can also conduct audits, and I can perform consulting of many different technological varieties. Again, that's growingbusinesssolutions.com. Thank you. Please take a moment to enjoy these selections from local Black Hills artists.
Saw the other day a man who come unhinged, spending all his days at the tip of a syringe. Why must we adore a person's need for more? I saw a man embrace his family in haste. Out the door he went, completely money bent. And why must we adore a person's need for more? I saw a man on Wall Street growing the amount of money she could fit into the veins of her bank account. Why must we restore a person's need for more? I saw a man on Main Street looking at his sign with a look of resignation while his world was redesigned. Why must we restore a person's need for more?
The stream, how sweet it will see once more. Just a dream in the moonlight. My heart, and
I know
with the dawn that you will be gone. But tonight you belong.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is John Dale of Pretty Little Ditties. I play original music, and I do a lot of improv with my presentation. Every performance is different. I also love to teach and interact with people who appreciate and enjoy live music from a real person. I have deep knowledge and experience in music, and it comes through in the playing that I work hard to be able to bring to your event. If you'd like to have me out, please don't hesitate to drop me a note at info@plainstribune.com. Again, that's Pretty Little Ditties. That's what I'm calling my little music venture. So I'd love to hear from you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to tell you the story of old Roof. His parents knew him as Cicero Rufus Perry. And he was a real tough old Texas Ranger. By the early 1830s, the Mexican War of Independence had subsided, and some 60 to 70 families had settled in Texas, most of them from the United States. Because there was no regular army to protect the citizens against attacks by native tribes and bandits, in 1823, Stephen F. Austin organized a small, informal group whose duties required them to range over the countryside, and who thus became known as Rangers. Around August 4th, 1823, Austin wrote that he would employ 10 men to act as Rangers for the common defense. "The wages I will give," said 10 men, "is $15 a month payable in property." John Jackson Tumlinson, Sr., the first alcalde of the Colorado District, is considered by many historians of the Texas Rangers to be the first killed in the line of duty. While there is some discussion as to when Austin actually employed men as Rangers, Texas Ranger lore dates the anniversary year of their organization to this event. In their early days, Rangers performed tasks of protecting the Texas frontier against Indian attacks on the settlers. During the Texas Revolution, they served mainly as scouts, spies, couriers, and guides for the settlers fleeing before the Mexican army, and performed rear guard actions during the runaway scrape and general support duties. These minor roles continued after independence, when the region became the Republic of Texas under President Sam Houston. Houston, who had lived with the Cherokee for many years and who had taken a Cherokee wife, favored peaceful coexistence with Indians, a policy that left little space for a force with the Rangers' characteristics. Rangers were versatile, tough, and at many times were pretty darn salty. Old Roof was no exception. Roof was born in Alabama in the year 1822. When he was 11 years old, Roof's family migrated out to Texas to fight the rattlesnakes, survive the tough Texas wilderness of that day, and to harden himself against the difficult Texas plains life. When he grew up, he found himself joining the Texas Rangers. Old Roof wasn't good at computers. They didn't even have computers back then, at least not the kind we know of today. He couldn't fly a plane or cook in a gourmet restaurant. Old Roof's skills were being tougher than rattlesnakes, harder than rocks, and having a talent for avoiding death, but not injury. You see, Old Roof was an Indian fighter. Some of the information is scant, but in 1839 it is presumed that he suffered his first of many wounds. In a fight with the Comanches in 1844, Roof was wounded in a fight on the Nueces River. Old Roof was wounded 3 times in that confrontation, but he walked 120 miles from Uvalde to San Antonio, unarmed, with no food, no water, except for what he could scrounge up from the lay of the land, which at that time was quite a bit, surprisingly. All told, Old Roof was injured 20 times fighting, coming to the aid of others, likely surviving ambushes and all manner of deadly conflict. Injuries came from lance, arrow, bullet, rock, stick, and fist. He finally passed away in Johnson City, Texas in 1898. John Holland Jenkins remembered Old Roof as a tall, muscular, perfect specimen of the strong and brave in young manhood
dark eyes, bright with the fires of intelligence and enthusiasm. Hey, you know what? Let's all take just a moment to pay our respects and to pay a tribute to old Ruth, Texas Ranger.
There's a yellow rose in Texas that I am gonna see. Nobody else could miss her, not half as much as me. She cried so when I left her, it like to broke my heart. And if I ever find her, we never more will part. She's the sweetest little rosebud that Texas ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds, they sparkle like the dew.
This is John Dale. I want to share something with you that is near and dear to my heart, and that is my computer monitor. I'm a computer professional. I sit in front of this thing for my job every day, sometimes as much as 18 hours at a time. Over the years, I've been doing this for decades. I've developed something called computer vision syndrome. I have light sensitivity issues when I look away from the monitor. Now, if I step away from the computer for a while, it feels better. I have to work. I have to get my job done. And that's why I prefer digital ink monitors by DB to Dom. These things use that digital ink like an e-reader, so you don't have this light blasting into your face. They're awesome. Check it out. Go to dbtodom.com today.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I guess this is going to become kind of a homeschool segment where we get together and talk about something that we've done in our homeschool that, you know, came out real good and we learned a lot from it, and it's a good memory. I like to grow food. I worked with the College of Agriculture in Tucson, Arizona for a long time, and in particular, I worked with local food and local organic food, no-till agriculture. And so I learned a lot about that and controlled environment systems and whatnot. So when we moved to South Dakota, I wanted to try to do something and a little experiment. And I knew that the hail was going to be bad. So we made a raised bed garden and we put a mesh hail screen on there that worked perfectly. And we planted some tomatoes and some radishes. You guys remember that?
I do. I remember after we planted the we actually planted the garden. We had two huge snowstorms, and the snow was all like piled up on top, and the shape of it kind of reminded me of a really long, like stretched out covered wagon because of the hail screen.
So if you can imagine, we had these curved pieces of PVC pipe that were coming up, and then we attached a hail screen to that so it curved up over it, and then that curvature curved away from the west. Because right here we have, in Spearfish, we've got that predominating westerly flow from the jet stream that brings that weather right out of the northwest a lot. So we put our hail shield, basically, on the west side of that. Casey, what do you probably don't remember much about that. You were only about 6 years old, but did you want to say something about that project?
I really don't remember much. I do remember, like, just planting like tomato plants and milk cartons, but I don't remember much about that project specifically.
Yeah, we used old milk cartons and germinated in those and then transplanted and did radishes and tomatoes, and they all turned out really well. We had a nice harvest from a very small raised bed, but so we haven't really grown much food. We've done a couple small things. We did a single tomato plant in the backyard this year, and we got about a dozen tomatoes off of that. But this year, and actually in the last couple of years, I've been focused on doing a flower garden. You guys ever done a flower garden? I love flowers, don't you? And it brings in all the critters and stuff. But unfortunately, this year's flower garden brought in a big critter or two, and it's really struggling out there. But we did some, what are those, the ones, the green ones with the green pointy leaves?
The irises?
Yeah, so we transplanted some irises a few years ago, and now they're just doing really well, and that spot must have some very nutritious soil for the plants. And we had what I would consider our best iris bloom ever. So the year started out really well, and then Caitlin selected a lot of the flowers that we were going to plant in our primary bed, which we enclosed in a little box, kind of. Not a protective measure at all, but we did plant it up under a lilac bush to try to protect that from the hail. And there's, you know, some old pine board, slat boards that we had that were actually the old stage from the Harvest Fest from years and years ago that Steve Thorpe played on, and I played on those, and Quinn played on those, and a few other folks braved the stage, and we ended up keeping that wood and turning it into many other projects. And one of those is the little flower garden you see out at the corner of Canyon and Jackson. But Caitlin, talk a little bit about what flowers you selected and why.
Well, I don't know the names of all of the flowers, because this year I picked up a couple of packages of, it was a mix of all different kinds of flowers, but specifically ones that bees like. So it was like, it was called like a pollinator pack, and there's a whole bunch of different kinds of flowers that bees really like. And so there's that, and then there's also, there's some cosmos in there as well, which for some reason have not been blooming. They haven't, like, been putting out flowers like everything else, which seems kind of odd.
Why do you suppose that is, Casey? Any ideas?
I think the deer have been, like, taking, like, the tips off of the cosmos.
Yeah, I think that's probably what's going on, too. And then I had this cool idea of planting sunflowers all around the base of our lilac so that they would kind of come up through the lilac and look like they were flowers on the lilac. And there was just every morning we'd go out there and the tops would be nibbled off of those sunflowers. They must have been delicious. So our flower garden turned into deer victuals. And the garden has just been struggling. And I thought, well, what do I do about that? I need like a deer shield. Or I thought about putting camo on and putting a deer blind out there, or digging a bunker and going out there with a BB gun, or maybe putting a motion detector with a big old speaker that played the sound of a junkyard dog whenever the deer came by. But, you know, I figured those deer, they have a hard life here in the winter and they're just trying to make a living. And I guess they really like cosmos, but they only eat the tops. You know, when those buds start to get big enough, they must just taste delicious, like corn on the cob with butter and salt on there, and like some barbecued chicken and like baked beans with some potato chips. I mean, it must be really delicious for those deer. And so I didn't want to be cruel, but I was kind of pissed, you know, because we worked really hard on that garden to get it all in shape. So we're strategizing for next year. I want to basically have a similar strategy. There was one aspect of the garden that to me was really rather disappointing. And that was these wildflower looking things that have an elongated top to them. And they have purple buds that grow all over them. And then those flowers turn into a cocklebur. So we've got like thousands of cocklebur in our garden now. And I suppose that's going to push up a bunch of those flowers for next year, but it is what it is what is. And so we're just, I don't know, next year, what do you think we might plant in that flower garden next year? If you have any ideas, by the way, call our Talking Classifieds, make a suggestion, and we'll just flow that through so other people can benefit from your knowledge or your suggestion. Or even if you're not sure and you just think we ought to try it, I sure would be up to hearing what your ideas are. But what do you think we ought to do next year? Anybody? Oh, no. Jess is going to step to the microphone. She's got an idea.
Back to the vegetable garden. I think my favorite year was when we had all of the green beans and you had strings or something that they were growing up, and we had like a wall practically of green beans, and we canned a whole bunch of green beans. I liked that year.
Awesome. Food is like the best. I kind of gave up a little bit on food. That raised bed garden got flakes from our roof in it. There were like some paint flakes that came off from some of the hail. So I was always a little nervous about that. And I was, you know, because I understand intricately the connection between the soil and the plants, but very good. That's a good memory. I forgot about the green beans.
I remember that year too, because when me and Casey would go out in the backyard, when we had that wall of green beans, we would just pick them straight off the plant and start eating them right there. They were really good.
Spearfish has incredible soil, and it always has, because this valley has been flooding for so long. It processes the soil, and the worms, the earthworms here are incredible. We have trees that are bringing up fertilizer from deep under the earth. And then their leaves deposit nitrogen fertilizer on top of the soil that does a really good job. At any rate, thank you for joining us on this really short segment. We'll see you back next time. Remember, every Friday at 4 o'clock. Thanks, folks. Have a great day. When the internet first came out, it promised to connect the world, and it did. Unfortunately, baked into the internet is the ability to get information about other people, like lots of information of every imaginable type. We believe over time that by respecting your right to privacy, our communities become stronger and more trustworthy. At dbtodom.com, we believe that is a good thing to work for. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for attending our talk in Classifieds, broadcasting here from the corner of Canyon and Jackson in Spearfish, South Dakota. We had someone who wanted to advertise with us who's one of those shy little butterflies. She wrote a book. It's called Louisa Bean, The Bean Family Wagon Train, 1855 from Maine to Iowa. That's spelled L-O-U-I-S-A, and you can purchase this on Amazon. Bean spelled B-E-A-N. Here's the description of that book. Louisa and Joel sell their farm and most of their livestock. They take their six children and all that can fit into two covered wagons, leaving the comfort and safety of their home in Maine. The family goes on a long journey to Iowa. More Bean families join the wagon train on the westward journey. These brave people kept their focus on the western horizon and the fertile farmland they could purchase when they arrived in Iowa. Not yet knowing the hardships that awaited some of them, they were anxious to get resettled before their first Iowa winter. Again, check this out on Amazon. Pick up a copy. It's Deborah Bean is the author, and she's a Black Hills original. She'd love for you to read her family story. Again, that's Louisa Bean, The Bean Family Wagon Train, 1855. L-O-U-I-S-A-B-E-A-N. That book is $4.77. Pick up a copy today.
Good afternoon. I have a Singer sewing machine, model 15-91. It has a pod motor. It requires no belt. It's direct drive, probably from the late 40s, maybe early 50s. An original three-drawer cabinet. The cabinet could stand a little attention on the top surface, but I would rate it as good plus condition with owner's manual, buttonhole attachment, and other attachments. I'm asking $200, must pick up. You can contact me at 605-645-3882. Thank you.
Are you looking for a dynamic, talented, educated, and fun musician to join your band? I can play drums, banjo, guitar. I can play a little bit of bass, electric guitar, acoustic guitar, classical guitar. And I can also sing and do backup vocals. And I would love to sit in with your band, and maybe we can make some awesome music together. Just call this service and drop a message if you're interested. I'd be happy to do that. My name is John Dale, 605-549-5515, and I'll get that message if you're interested in having me sit in. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Caitlin, and I have a very lightly played with 18-inch doll and horse set with all the original accessories, along with the original horse and doll set comes another doll sleepover set with matching storybook and accessories that include a toothbrush, toothpaste, bunny slippers, and more. Everything is in good condition, and there are no missing pieces or broken parts. All four of the horse's legs can move and bend, and the doll's arms, legs, and head move as well. The doll has rich dark brown hair and dark blue eyes. This collection would make a great Christmas gift, especially with the holidays right around the corner, or even a birthday present for any little girl who loves ranch life. Right now, my asking price is $100. I will take offers on it, and you can reach me at 605-644-7337. Thank you.
Hello, I'm in the market for crafting supplies, mainly like yarn, fabric, embroidery thread, or similar materials. If you have some old supplies sitting around that you've been like meaning to give away or don't need anymore, I'd be glad to take it out of your hands. Just text me at 520-548-1311 and let me know if you're interested and what you have, if you have something. Thanks. Have a good one.
Hello, everyone. This is John Dale, PlainsTribune.com and the Talking Classifieds. We had one of our listeners send this classified ad in. I'm asking $125 for all of the following. They can email me at freedomsofgrowing@gmail.com for more information, pictures, etc. Also mention, please, that I'm planning to have a storage unit sale soon with lots of kitchen items, like new men's Wrangler jeans, size 34 by 34, women's jeans, size 8, 9, and 10, women's tops, 100% cotton, long and short sleeves, mostly made in America. Here's that email again, freedomsofgrowing@gmail.com. That's freedomsofgrowing. freedomsofgrowing@gmail.com for more information on that information.
Hi, I have numerous Chilton and Haynes automotive repair manuals. I just glanced at some that were in sight here and counted 20 or 25, so I have more than a few. Some are domestic cars and light trucks such as Ford, Chevy, Dodge, and others. And some are foreign like Toyota, Honda, different foreign makes. I'm asking $5 for the very good ones. And as the condition depreciates, so does the price. I also make volume deals. If you are in need of a manual, it might be worth your while to check with me. Thank you. You can contact me at 605-645-3882. Bye.
Hello again, everyone. This is John Dale, and thank you for attending our Talking Classified service. We have another entry from the same shy little butterfly as before. This is author Deborah Bean of Black Hills Original. She wrote a second book to follow up with the first called Louisa's Legacy, The Story of John T. Bean. The saga continues of the Bean family who settled in the Muscatine, Iowa area. After surviving the arduous journey and challenges of life, John T. Bean carries on the legacy of Joel and Louisa Bean. Farming in the mid-1800s with horses to work the land, he manages to prosper and raise a large family despite hardships. The family survives danger, harsh weather, and fire and drought as a testament to their faith. Once again, this is author Deborah J. Bean. She's a Black Hills Original, and she would love for you to pick up a copy of each one of her books. Thank you so much for attending the Talking Classifieds. We'll be back with more soon.
Hi. A lady I've known since we were young kids asked me to put her car in an ad here for her, so I'll go ahead with it. It's a 1999 Jaguar Model XJ8 four-door sedan, always garaged, almost mint condition. Has a little over 100,000 miles on it. Original forest green paint. Interior is leather. Buckskin tan color. Has bucket seats in front. Automatic on the floor. Battery is brand new. She has a clear title in hand. She's asking $10,200 for it or best offer. You can contact her at 605-641-6955. It is a beautiful car. Thank you.
Hi, I have a 14-inch adorable ballerina bunny in a cute pink tutu dress. This is an adorable bunny stuffed animal with a cute satin and tulle tutu, and it's pink on a white bunny. It freestands on its own and even has two little bows around its ears, which hang down really far along its back. This would be a great present for any little girl that loves ballet. It looks great sitting on a shelf or for a bed decoration. It is very well stuffed and keeps its shape. It's in good shape with no tears, worn spots, or stains. You can call me at 605-644-7337, and I am asking $20. Thank you.
Hi, I have an Apples to Apples Junior card game in pristine condition that I'm trying to sell. I've had it for a few years, but only had like a couple chances to play it, so it's in really good condition. The box doesn't have any scuffs or rips, and all the cards are there. I'm asking $15, and you can contact me by texting 520-548 1311. If you're interested or want to make an offer, just go ahead and text me at that number. Thank you. Bye.
Hello, everyone. This is John Dale of Pretty Little Ditties. I play original music, and I do a lot of improv with my presentation. Every performance is different. I also love to teach and interact with people who appreciate and enjoy live music from a real person. I have deep knowledge and experience in music, and it comes through in the playing that I work hard to be able to bring to your event. If you'd like to have me out, please don't hesitate to drop me a note at info@plainstribune.com. Again, that's Pretty Little Ditties. That's what I'm calling my little music venture. So I'd love to hear from you. Thank you.